G'day, welcome to the Raw Rugby Podcast here, a rapid fire edition as we look ahead to round 11 of the Super Rugby Pacific competition. I'm Christy Doran. Joining me to run you through your team news this week, Nick Wasiliev. Nick, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Very good, my friend. It was an interesting weekend of rugby that we just saw. I mean, did we have the question answered if the Super Rugby side's up to the New Zealand standard? Sort of.
Yeah, has the gap closed? Yeah,
yes,
it's a good question. I think had the Reds got over the top of the Blues, we may well be closer to saying yes. At this point in time, I don't think you can say that. Not conclusively anyway, but this weekend, round 11, there's four Trans-Tasman matches, and we may well get a little bit closer to knowing whether or not Australian teams can go toe for toe against their Trans-Tasman opposition neighbours, because you look at it and it looks like a pretty scary, daunting weekend, because there's games across the ditch, like the Waratahs taking on the Hurricanes, the Reds against the Crusaders, and the Force against the Chiefs. And they're all tricky challenges that lie ahead. And then the one team that is hosting a game against New Zealand opposition, I don't know if the Rebels are going to be able to handle the heat of the Blues. So we're going to start from where it all begins, which is Friday afternoon, Australian time. And if you're in Perth tuning in, it's definitely the early afternoon. But the Hurricanes up against the Waratahs, and they're hosting them in Wellington off the back of losing last week to the Brumbies. Blimey, it looks like an intimidating match ahead for them. What are some of the changes from Darren Coleman's side, Nick?
He's made several changes. In fact, there's the ones that are particularly of note to me. You alluded to it earlier this week on the raw.com.au. But Max Jorgensen has been left out of the squad, which is a big piece of news. Which we'll see Mark Nolandui Tuase move from the wing to fullback. The other two positions that I'm particularly interested in, Christy, is the decision to promote Will Harrison to starting fly half ahead of Tane Edmed. I really have liked Harrison for a while. First came on my radar back when he was playing for Sydney in the NRC, and was really impressed with just his approach, his strategy of game. And even though he wasn't big, he was still growing and improving and looked very mature as a player. The other one for me is Hunter Ward, who is in the starting side. A very good player, very exciting player, has been kind of a stalwart of the Shoot Shield for quite a while and has excelled at that level very well. But coming in ahead of Charlie Gamble, who moves back to the bench, very interesting decision by Coleman. I can see that he's kind of really wanting to try and stack that bench as best he can. I will say, thank God, there is he has had a bit of stability in the front row, because, I mean, the injury list there has been absolutely catastrophic for the Tars. But at the cake tin, Hurricanes will be back at home for the first time in a little while. They've had a few weeks on the road. They've just come off that loss to the Brumbies. Ugh, they will be up for this game, Christy, I reckon.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, there's always going to be a response, and it looks like an intimidating game for the Waratahs, who don't have Ned Hannigan, they don't have Jed Holloway, and both of them would usually feature prominently. Yeah, Hayden Thompson-Stringer back in the front row after missing last week. He comes back at loose head prop, seeing Harry Johnson Holmes, who we had earlier on in the week on the podcast, jump across to tight head. But yeah, it's an interesting timing having Will Harrison come in at 10, because Tane Edmund, I think a lot of people are going, he's showing a bit, is he showing enough? We know that Harrison's goal kicking has been superb, and I will say that Tane Edmund has been pretty good himself. He's kicking at well over 85%, but he's probably missed those one or two ones, which see him being a good player to being a match winner. I'm not sure if I like the call to bring in Harrison, because it's your first starting game. It's perhaps the most difficult match they'll have outside of a final this year. And Tane Edmund's been there. He's been there for 10 weeks. I almost would have had him go there again. And then I'd have perhaps Will Harrison a week later when you're up against the Brumbies, you're in home soil, you allow him to grow. You don't perhaps wreck his confidence if indeed the Waratahs get beaten, and get beaten really, really badly, because no one's stocks go up when your side gets hammered and you're the 10. So it's pretty clear that we're both going to be tipping the Hurricanes. I'm tipping them by quite a few tries. I think even though they're missing a couple of guys and there's Noah Saffa Amua still up front, you've got Xavier Nyumia coming off the bench. There's still some firepower. You know, Perenara, Jordy Barrett, Ryasi will come off the bench, but they've still got to start, you know, Brett Cameron at 10 and Ruben Love at 15 as well. And Iosi, Flanders still up front, Tyrell Lomax. It's a good-looking side. You hope for the Waratahs that it doesn't get ugly, but blimey, they've got a big match ahead of them on Friday evening. And this point in time of the year, they're 11th, they're on 12 points, they're only 3 points outside the top eight. But if you can somehow come away with a bonus point, that could be the difference, because they probably need at least one more win to perhaps get into around that eighth position, maybe seventh. So bonus points will be very, very important going forward. How many do you think the Hurricanes are winning by?
I think it'll be a closer game. I'm hoping for a closer game. It's clear to me that it is very much throwing Harrison in at the deep end. I think you and I are very much in agreement on that. But he has been, I think what he has shown so far has been very solid. I think also the decision to put Edmed on the bench might also come from similarly to a place with like Amatasero and Gamble. You want to try and get a good push going into the latter half of the game. And that I can see what the process is there. But really, it really depends on how that starting side goes before the reinforcements come on, and if they can stem the momentum. I think it will be a closer game than you predict. But do I see the Waratahs getting a losing bonus point? No, I think the margin will be more than 10, but not much more. I think it will be a closer game than we think.
Well, I'm sure the Waratahs would almost take that. Second match of Friday night, another Trans-Tasman game. Melbourne Rebels beaten 39-0 last week by the Crusaders. I think you tipped the Rebels, so I'm sure you would have been thinking, oh, dear, that wasn't a good tip. but I'll say that I had the Crusaders. I think it's another tough night ahead for the Rebels up against this Blues team. Vern Cotter has clearly signalled his intent, because he hasn't gone easy, has he?
No, he is not. I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording. This might be the most predictable weekend of Super Rugby to tip. And I can see just the one thing that was so disappointing about that game was just how much that the bench of the Rebels was blown off the park by the Crusaders in the latter half of that game. When really there was still a chance. They were still just hanging on there. But yeah, it was a complete disaster. And you can see that reflected in Foote deciding to change the entire front row. So Tupou will start along with Kalia and Jordan Ulasi, which I question that, considering, you know, Tupou has been still very much coming back to peak form. He's been, you know, been knocked about quite a bit, and making sure that he actually has the lungs to make it for the majority of that game is a real challenge. And as you alluded to, this blue side, they are physical, they are aggressive. I am so impressed with Hoskins Tutu, probably one of the best players in the comp this season. So aggressive. The Rebels will have a lot of work to try and lock down that set piece side. If you lose the physical contact, the physical battle against the Blues, you're going to get flogged. That's the key message there. Rob Leota will be back in the starting side, which is a key inclusion, I think, for the Rebels in terms of a big head. But still, no Salakai Loto, which his presence was sorely missed last week.
Yeah, wasn't it, Justice? Not just at the line out where Scott Barrett picked apart the Rebels' throw, but even at the scrum, when you've got a guy that's 125 kilos, it helps being able to help lock down that tight head prop. I think the Blues have shown that they want to go through teams this year, and the Rebels, their defence around the ruck has been very suspect, to say the least. So I just think it's going to be a tough one. And, you know, they've brought back Matt Proctor. He starts at the outside centre. I think it's just the second time he started this year. That sees Filippo Dangudo move onto the wing. Otherwise unchanged really in that back line. Angelo Smith as well coming into the second rotor partner, Josh Canham. I just hope that they can stick tight. They're clearly thinking we've got to be in the race, and that's why they're starting with that new front row off of Tuonga Fassi, an all-black, experienced all-back loose head, so he'll be packing down against Taniela Tupou. That's a really big matchup, and I think Joe Schmidt will be looking at that one very closely. I'm thinking the Blues here by 2 to 3 tries. They might have had, they still might be missing Akira Ioane, but when you've got Rico Ioane, you've got Talia, Caleb Clark, AJ Lamb, like that. It's a formidable looking back line. And then you've still got Dalton Papali'i and Hoskins Satutu, Patrick Tuipulotu. They've gone, you know what, we actually want a bonus point victory here. We don't just want to go there and get a win, because they recognise the importance of a top two position, I would say. The Brumbies in third spot, 5 points behind the second place Blues. So you don't want to slip up, and that's, I think, a smart decision there by Vern Cotter.
Absolutely. I think they want a bonus point, and I think they're going to get one. I think it's going to be an ugly showing in Melbourne. For the Rebels, honestly, these are the games that if they are genuinely serious about being finals contenders, they have to throw everything and the kitchen sink at this match. Even a bonus point loss would be valuable for them where they're sitting. They are put themselves into a strong position to be able to make finals for the first time ever, and they have good reason to be excited about that. But it's these games. They have a tough run home, and they really need to set a marker on just making sure that they can actually get that. I am definitely going the Blues. I think it'll be a bonus point win for them. And I just want to finally shout out a certain Cam Suafoa on the bench for the Blues, who has had an insane story. He's been undergoing cancer treatment for the majority of this season. If you go to the Blues social media, they did an amazing story about his journey and battle with cancer. And he is on the bench for the Blues this weekend, which is a fantastic return to the field. So just a great little story about a player who just refuses to give up.
Yeah, it's a really good one to point out. The third game of the weekend is a really intriguing one, and it's an intriguing one because it has massive ramifications for the Rebels, especially. It's Moana Pacifica up against the Highlanders, a game finally, you'd say, in the islands, probably the first home game of the year. But you've got the Highlanders in the eighth spot on 15 points, Moana Pacifica in ninth on 14 points, and that is respectively 9 points and 10 points behind the Rebels. Both these two teams will be sniffing the Rebels, and they're sniffing an opportunity here to close that gap, because with 5 rounds left in this comp before the finals, it's this sort of game where you go, you know what, if we win this, we really put the pressure on them. Who do you think is going to get up here?
I want history to be made, Christy. I want history to be made. I'm going Moana Pacifica. I think the Highlanders, aside from Folau Fakatava, have not really been firing as much as we'd hoped this season. I know that they were always going to be, it was always going to be a bit of a tough build for them, because they were a little bit more behind the eight ball than a lot of the other Kiwi sides. And I think they are making progress. Both sides are missing some key players. The big one for me is Solomon Funaki, the Tongan international, who's returning from injury. He's back on the field for the first time at home. I want some history made. I want to see Moana Pacifica win in Tonga, and I think it is going to happen.
It'd be great for the game, and it would actually be really interesting, because whilst everyone's wondering, is it going to be Super 12, is it going to be Super 11, is it going to be Super 10 going forward, if you get Moana Pacifica that go back to either Tonga or Samoa, in this case it's Tonga, and you win and there's a reasonable crowd, that shows you that there is something for this Moana Pacifica side that you can get behind. Because at the moment, I think when they're playing in New Zealand, it might be okay for some of the families, and it's probably easier playing in New Zealand, in Auckland, than it is elsewhere across the Pacific. It's not sustainable, because there's not enough fans showing up. And so this is going to be a fascinating game. I think the Highlanders are once again missing Reece Patchell. It's a real big blow for them. We know that they've got Miller, they've got a few others that have been around there, but I think the Highlanders have been really unimpressive so far, and this is a chance for Moana Pacifica to pick up what would be their fourth win of the year, which is a huge progression from what we've seen in the last couple of years. So I'm going to say for the time being, Moana Pacifica. I haven't tipped them yet in the Rural Rugby tipping. That goes up, generally speaking, later on the Thursday afternoon. So I might change. You never know. Watch this space. But I'm going to jump on board with you there. The fourth game, a really intriguing matchup. Can the Crusaders go back to back, or will the Reds manage to continue on with their progression from last week, where they went so close to knocking over the Blues? This is going to be a cracking game.
Fun fact: I'm now going to channel my inner Tony Harper for this segment of the podcast, Christy. The last time the Reds beat the Crusaders was the 2011 Super Rugby Grand Final. Since then, the Crusaders have won 11 games on the trot against Queensland. Even more fun, the last time the Reds beat the Crusaders in Canterbury was 1999. If there is any time that the Reds are going to knock off the Crusaders and get a key win and end this and exercise some demons, it is now. I know that we look at that 39-0 result against the Rebels and think, oh God, we might see the Crusaders of old coming back. If there's one thing that we have noticed this year so far is that the Crusaders have been such a mixed bag week to week. Playing at home, playing at home is a massive help for them, especially getting a couple of games at home because they have been on the road quite a bit. There is a couple of changes. The big one, of course, is Tom Liner, who is out, which he will be replaced by Lawson Crichton, which is it's an interesting choice. Obviously, he suffered a hamstring tweak, I believe, against the Blues for the reason. Harry McLaughlin Phillips will return by the bench, which is very good. I've been very impressed with him so far this season. So I was going to tip the Reds until I found out that not only is a certain Havili coming back starting at the number 10, but a certain Lee Halfpenny is debuting for the Crusaders in the back line. And that changes a lot of things for me in this game, because the one thing that I think the Crusaders have really lacked when they were going through that very bad patch was a lot of experienced heads on the pitch. A lot of players are out due to injury. And those heads are going to make an enormous difference to that Crusaders side. And so as much as I am hoping that this is the feel-good Australian story of the weekend, I think the Crusaders are going to win.
Yeah, it's a big game, and maybe the afternoon footy helps the Reds. I think there's something pretty intimidating about the Crusaders when it's evening time and it often gets pretty cold over there. Lee Halfpenny, I imagine, is going to be the goal kicker as well. Goal kicking's been an area that the Crusaders have struggled with in recent weeks, probably all season, and that's something that Richie Mwanga previously kicked over goals for fun, and if he was missing a couple, they were scoring enough to ensure that it didn't matter. It's a formidable looking starting 15, and whether or not that back line has the continuity, it's the first time that a lot of those guys are going to be playing with each other. That's an intriguing and an interesting point. Johnny McNichol on the right wing, there's a real Welsh flavour in that back three, but Dallas McLeod, Moore in the middle, David Havili goes to 10. That's like he's jumped in at first five a fair bit throughout the year, but he's traditionally been either at inside centre or when he started a lot at fullback. It's a good looking forward pack. It's their 15 is much stronger than the players coming on. Their interchange, you look at guys like Bell, Moody, Franks, Hannah. Yeah, that's still a good-looking forward pack to come on, but they don't have that experience or nor the class at the moment in their replacement backs. I'm with you. I think the Crusaders at the moment probably shave the Reds, but if the Reds' front row can manage to go toe-for-toe, get some parity there, that could be a chance. Kalani Thomas is improving. We've seen his game go to another level, I think, since the start of the season. He spent last year across in New Zealand playing in their provincial cup. So I think that's really helped. But, yeah, Lawson Crichton is an interesting one at 10. It's a real opportunity for him to actually silence a few critics, say to Les Kiss, you know what, you're right to back me. I've got the experience and I can lead around this team. So it's a really big game, but I'm going to go the Crusaders by probably 7 to 10 points. Should be a good match. The fifth game, the penultimate one this weekend, the Chiefs hosting the Western Force. It looks like a really tricky game for them off the back of losing to the Highlanders 8 points to 7. Oh, sorry, 7 points to 6, rather. Even shave off a couple of more points, we'll get closer to zero. But it seems like it's only going to go one way this game.
Yeah, oh, God. Chiefs, good. Force, not so good. It's going to be a 40-plus drubbing. I'm not going to sometimes there's no way to polish a tough situation in front of you. Matt Tumua nailed it in his description of this game on the podcast earlier this week. The Force were awful. The game was awful. Both sides were just focusing on trying not to lose, and the Force came out short in that regard. It's going to be, I think, if there's going to be one game that's the total skip of this round, if you're a fan, I just... Right now, yeah, there's great talent in this Force side, but so much chopping and changing as a result of injuries and so many players coming in and so much stuff happening around that squad. The continuity is been very difficult to come by for Simon Cron and his coaching side. In all honesty, while they are still a mathematical shot of making finals, considering the run home that they have, I think it's really a case of just really going hell for leather and just trying to finish off the season in a strong, positive way. I do not see this game going any other way, Christy. It's going to be a shellacking.
Well, you look at the starting 15 and actually right across the squad, and it's not the worst that the Western Force has rolled out in previous years. No Sam Carter, but Jeremy Williams starts, and he was impressive off the bench last week. And you've still got Isaac Rodder coming off the bench. We know that Tom Horton and Santiago Medrano are handy players. Even the back line, you know, Isaac Fiennes, Lele Oasa, Ben Donaldson, they were at the World Cup last year. So there is enough there to suggest that if they can somehow match the physicality of the Chiefs, that they hold the ball, that they can stay in the contest. That's the important one. They've got to try to get this game as deep as possible, frustrate the Chiefs and Clayton McMillan's side. And you never know. Maybe Sam Penny-Finau has that brain explosion. Maybe he does tip over that line. And it will probably take something like that for the Western Force to stand a chance. I agree with you. I think they're going to get beaten and probably well beaten. But there is enough talent in this side. They've been away on tour now for a little while. If they manage to stick really tight, they make their tackles and they take their opportunities like they didn't last week, they have enough there to score a couple of tries and take this game deep. But there's a few ifs and buts in there. I still think the Chiefs by a few tries.
If there's one thing that I love when it comes to the world of rugby, it is being proven wrong. And I think the Force last year, even though they didn't get any wins on the road, a lot of their games in New Zealand last season, they actually played some great rugby and ran a lot of teams deep. You know, the Blues and the Hurricanes were the most notable ones that spring to mind when I think of those, of their performances last year. It is a good squad. You are not wrong. And I can see them asking a lot of questions, but that's the cohesion thing for me. The time they actually spent together is the key challenge that they have right now. And that Chiefs side is just a well-oiled machine. And while they have been exposed a few times this season, I mean, they're looking very good and they're in the position they are in on the ladder for a reason.
Yeah, well, the Chiefs managed to overturn that 12-0 lead that they coughed up to the Waratahs last week before really dominating that last 60 minutes, and that's away from home. So you get the feeling like they're always a team that off the back of buys, they struggle a little bit and then they find their mojo. So, yeah, it looks like an intimidating game once again for the Aussie outfit from the West. The last game, Brumbies and the Fiji in Drua. Both teams coming off the back of wins last week, with the Drua beating Moana Pacifica and Lautoka 24-17, and of course the Brumbies 27-19 over the Hurricanes. the Drua. They just struggle away from home. The Brumbies have made quite a few changes, but they're not necessarily all injury related. There's a little bit of tinkering. It's still a pretty good-looking team, and a certain someone in Nick Frost, a World Cup Wallaby, is back after being dropped from the Brumbies 23 last week, and he returns in the second row. That's pretty handy when you can bring someone like that back, hey?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I always get nervous when the Drua come to town, even when the Brumbies are favourites, because it's really a clash of very different styles of rugby. And it is a bit of a cliche to say, but when, you know, last year, the Drua in Canberra asked a lot of questions of the Brumbies. And even though the Brumbies went on to win that game with a bonus point, if you watched it, you knew that it was an arm wrestle. It was no easy feat to overcome that Drua side in terms of sheer, you know, going for the structured game that the Brumbies are really good at with coming off the set piece and trying to shut down the Drua's exuberance and ability to just create something out of nothing, and suddenly you're back on your own try line, wondering where the hell that try came from. Interesting choice. I think it's some good decisions have been made. Jerome Brown, I've been very impressed with him. I think I love his physicality coming back into the side at blindside flanker, and also Rob Valentini starting at number eight again. As you alluded to, Nick Frost coming back into the side, which I think is a very welcome inclusion and return. Interesting that that Valentini will actually come up against his brother in this game as well. Kimu Valentini, who is on the bench for the Drua. Mick Byrne has named 10 changes to this side, which is a very interesting choice. I'm still going to go Brumbies because Brumbies in Canberra is always a tough prospect for any team. You only have to look at the Hurricanes, who were leading the ladder last week when they came to town. But I am not as confident. I always am wary of the Fijian Drua. It's the right problem to have because it goes to show how much they've injected so much into this competition.
Yeah, well, if you look at last year, you're right. Fiji gave him a bit of a shock, and so did actually Moana Pacifica when they burst out of the blocks. But this year, I think they took the Moana Pacific side a fair bit more seriously. I think they put on 60 points in the end. What I like about the Brumbies still this week is they've decided, you know what, we are going to make sure James Slipper goes round again. I'm starting James Slipper. I'm starting Alan Alatoa. Frost and Hooper in the second row, there's a fair bit of mobility around those two guys. They're not going to necessarily get beaten across the park. They've got the speed to handle that. You set the foundations against the Drua away from home, and that gets you halfway there. So I think physically they'll be able to stand up to them. Harrison Goddard comes in for Ryan Lonick at halfback, but otherwise there's not many changes. Corey Toole out with that little injury. Andy Muirhead back into the side. But even on the bench, Luke Reimer, Darcy Swain, Billy Pollard, there's enough there to go, you know what, we are respecting this opposition. I think the Brumbies by a couple of tries, but the Drua, they're one of those teams that can surprise you. And so ensuring you get off to a quick start and a fast start and get those fundamentals right, you get your handling going, you're hitting those rucks, that's going to be really important for Stephen Larkham's side. And the other thing that's so important about this game is that they've got to stay in touching distance with the Hurricanes, the Blues, those top two teams, because at the moment, if you're playing a final next week, and this is where the standings lay, which they won't at the end of the year, but the Brumbies third would be coming up against the Queensland Reds. If you finish second, though, you're coming up against the Drua. So it goes to show that you've got to really be absolutely pinpoint towards this mark to the end of the season so that you can get as high up that ladder as possible, because home finals are just imperative. So, yeah, big one for the Brumbies to ensure that they continue on their momentum built from last week beating the Hurricanes. I'm trying to think about what's the match of the round. I think it's the Crusaders and the Reds. But the Moana Pacifica and Highlanders match, that's one to tune into early Saturday afternoon as well.
Yeah, completely agree. I think it's that it's all going to be that game down in Christchurch or that game in Tonga. I think it's, and I'm not talking necessarily on. I mean, even though it does matter in terms of the ladder. I think in terms of sheer entertainment, sheer fun, sheer joy, that game in Tonga is going to be so much fun, especially if they get a good crowd there. And I hope if you are in Tonga and you're listening to this podcast and you can get down there, do, because I reckon it becomes a game changer for Moana Pacifica if they really show, hey, we need to take more games out to the islands. And there's a lot of value and there's a lot of strength in facing this side and playing more games out there. So get keen for that game. I reckon it's going to be a belter.
Yep, agree. All right, we'll leave it there. All the action this weekend starts at 5:05 Friday evening in Wellington between the Waratahs and the Hurricanes. Promises to be an interesting one. Can the Aussies close that gap? We'll find out a lot more by the end of the weekend. Nick, thanks for coming on as always. Until next time, and until you hear me and Matt Tamua go round early next week, enjoy the rugby. Thanks again. You're listening to the Rural Rugby Podcast. The Roar.